evening. I would like to welcome everyone to the Monday, February 15th virtual Zoom Boyne City Planning Commission meeting. This meeting is being conducted remotely, where all the members of the Planning Commission and staff are in separate locations and not at City Hall. Before we start the meeting, I would like to go over some housekeeping items. Tonight's meeting is being recorded. Those tuning in will notice that all participants, with the exception of the commission and some city staff members, are muted and video has been disabled. With that said, we will allow participants an opportunity to speak during the public comment period. If you wish to speak during the public comment there's a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over with your cursor. Click the word participants and a box will open up on your screen showing you a list of participants. At the bottom of that, you will find a box and can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting's facilitator and you will be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your question or give input. During the time you are unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise such as TVs, radios, etc. Even shuffling papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name, address when you call. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated. And will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in discussions, please call 231-582-0336 at any time during the meeting, and someone will be happy to assist you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through tonight's meeting agenda. Let's call this meeting to order and start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and just a reminder, when we do roll call, you need to say your name and then also where you are right now. Roll call, Pat.
Bauman.
Here, and Jim Bauman, and I am at my home, 1119 West Street, Boyne City. Okay.
You can just give us the city. We don't need the actual address from here on out.
Cool.
Shoot.
Home Boyne City.
McNaughton.
Here, home in Boyne City.
Moblo. Needhammer. You're muted.
You're muted, Tom.
And you're still muted, but I got that you're here. Newton?
Here and in Boyne City.
Place?
Here, and I'm in Petoskey.
Jeff Ross?
Here in Petoskey, Michigan.
Monica Ross? I'm not sure what's happening with your audio.
Put that helium tank away, Monica.
Okay, and I did hear from Nicole. She was not going to be able to make it tonight, and Lexi Reed was not going to be able to make it either.
Okay.
I will make a motion to excuse Nicole and Lexi.
There's no need to excuse Lexi.
Lexi, okay. Yep. I will make a motion for excusing the absence of Nicole. Mobla?
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Jeff Ross.
Aye.
Monica. Jim. Bauman.
Aye.
Shoot.
Aye.
McNaughton.
He's muted.
He's muted also. Needhammer?
Aye.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Aye. All right. So on the consent agenda, approval of minutes from January 18th meeting of the Planning Commission.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I will second the motion. Oh, somebody beat me to it.
Motion, and who was the second?
Skyler.
Motion and second. Roll call, Pat.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Jeff Ross?
Aye.
Monica Ross? Bauman?
Aye.
Shoot?
Dane.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
All right. Move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. Patrick, do we have anyone?
Showing no one currently, Chair.
All right, thank you so much. Let's move on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. Scott?
The Marijuana Advisory Commission is scheduled a meeting for April 20th. Hopefully by then we'll understand a little more clearly what the summer will bring and an ability to have public engagement processes. So we're looking forward to that.
Very good. All right. There's no unfinished business. Let's move on to new business. A development plan review for 411 Northeast Street.
You may recall this plan was on the commission agenda for preliminary review last month. We provided some drawings of it at that time. Additional drawings have been submitted with their application for development plan review. As you recall, this is located at 411 Northeast Street. It is a old brick school structure. And they had a later addition of like a Quonset hut kind of structure on the north side. It's comprised of two parcels. One parcel on the south is zoned multifamily. The parcel to the north is zoned traditional residential. The applicant intends to renovate the structure into a six-dwelling multifamily unit and remove the Quonset structure and eliminate that encroachment onto the north side property boundary that will hopefully allow that for future development in the sometime in the future. They do plan to add a structure, a carport structure, to access it from the alley. And as you can see in my staff report, Tim Foss, the DPW director, did review this and identified that alley as having limited maintenance right now. They do some dust control and grading, but they do not plow it. And it's currently plowed by a private person that's associated with the church that's basically next on the other side of the alley from the structure. They do not anticipate changing that policy, so you know that plowing would continue to remain the folks that want to use that alley. He also indicated that if they would like to pave it, they would be amenable to that. There would have to be some kind of a maintenance agreement for that if they did choose to make that improvement. The site plan did show a dumpster, but they have contacted me and indicated that that would be eliminated and they would use curb containers for individuals and have them picked up that way. So I just want to make sure that if it ever comes to need a dumpster in the future, that a plan is submitted and approved for that dumpster and enclosure prior to installation. Just in my past experience, dumpsters have just kind of a way of showing up, so I want to make that very clear. Other than that, this is a been reviewed by staff, and as our comments last month, it's definitely a good repurposing of this and adding needed residential units in town, so we're excited about this project. So the applicant was invited to this meeting, and I'm not sure if they're here. I seen a couple guests. I'm not sure if they're the folks that are representing this, so I guess they could identify themselves if they are.
Eddie Louch here, if you can catch me there.
Yep.
Hi.
Yep.
And Dave Hendricks here as well.
Okay. So Cody and Maggie are...
Well...
So if you guys want to give a presentation about your project to the Planning Commission, that would be an appropriate time.
Cody, before you begin, could you spell your last name for me, please?
Yeah, first let me... I'm using Cody's computer in my office because I don't have mine here. My name's Eddie Louch, and I am a resident of Charlevoix pretty much half the year. I'm strong on weekends, and I've been with the Boyne City community for about 10 years now. So we're up there quite a bit. I have several properties now within Charlevoix that I've bought and redone, and you know, I saw this place a couple years ago and invited my partner Dave there to pursue it with me.
Would you like to describe a little bit about the renovations you anticipate doing?
Yeah, I mean, we've been working pretty closely with Charlevoix County in regards to like a pre-plan, you know, walkthrough. I've been in contact with Mark at the water department. It, you know, fire suppression is going to happen. Where the development, you know, it's going to be six units. The upper units will be larger. And as you go down the building to like the first floor, they'll be smaller. And then when you get to the garden level, those will be the smallest of units. I think the total square footage of the project is like 9,000 square feet. So with the smallest unit being the garden level, and those are about 1,000 square feet. The third floor will have, or the second floor will have like an open loft concept. The ceilings in this building are like 35 feet tall. I mean, I used to think the building was scary, but not so much anymore. So
these are going to be condominium units?
Yes, that's what we're seeking to do.
Would the garages be attached to each unit, or are those just part of the common area, or how would those work?
I'd have to figure out the legal stance on that. I did put it into a lawyer's hands to create the condominiumized version of this. So we're working on that currently, and I'm not sure how he'll attach those, each garage identification probably, to each unit, I'm sure. So, and then with the idea that they'd have a small association. It's a major renovation though, from top all the way down. The floors in the basement all have to come out. It's a major renovation. So we are ready to submit to Charlevoix County. We're just kind of waiting for this meeting. And then I talked to Kevin up there, the department head, and I explained to him, and he actually visited the property the other day because we had the power turned on. So, and he seemed, you know, pretty enlightened by it. So, all
right. Scott, is this a preliminary site plan review, or is this right to a site plan review?
This is a plan review.
Okay.
The application's for that. Yeah.
Scott, what's the minimal setback for parking structures to the alleyway?
3 feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. At this point, I'm going to open up to the board if you have any specific questions for Ed and Dave.
Yeah, I had a member of the community reach out and wanted me to ask if you've already worked up the price points of where you're looking at for those condos. I don't know if you've gotten that far yet in price point, or, but I had somebody who was interested.
Okay.
And again, you don't have to answer if that's not something you know.
Yeah, Rose, we really need to stick to the zoning questions. That's all right.
What is the proposed schedule on this?
The schedule we would probably hope to have done by fall. Right now with how busy contractors are and everything, we do have what we feel is a good lineup of people. But we're not sure what's going to play into anything, setting us back. But we're anticipating that we would be into late fall for completion. We wanted to be started as early as March. We actually wanted to be started by now with the demo portion, but there's not too much of demo in there, but it's just so cold. We don't want to deal with that yet.
So there's likely no need for, or there's no time limit questions. Scott, probably not.
No, once they get a permit, the zoning permit's good for 2 years, so.
Okay.
Cool. I think we're anticipating more than 1 year for construction, but like Andy said, the hope would be late fall, probably, finish it up.
Okay.
What are the colors and materials that will be used for the carport garage?
We'd be using probably like a steel siding of some sort, something very contemporary. I mean, we're styling these as kind of like an urban loft feel. So the textural values will all kind of blend well. We are looking, and we just recently had some concepts put together for us. I mean, just as recent as last week, that we're talking about gray washing the brick and actually turning the brick to an orange, or not the orange brick into a gray tone. It's called lime washing. It's did a lot in Chicago and whatnot, but so we are looking to have, I guess, very subtle tones. So I'm not sure if that color on the buildings would be like a gray or something that would work blend well with the building itself.
Is Scott's metal siding acceptable for an outbuilding?
Yeah.
Okay.
More or less something like a, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not going to be like a pole barn steel necessarily. I mean, we're not talking that kind of metal siding. We're talking about something that's like a, an upper end metal roofing type feel, that wouldn't look like a pole barn. So... Okay.
But the colors are going to fit in with the colors of the building, even with doing the lime washing.
Yeah, we're looking to do black windows. We're looking for, again, to have some natural wood tone feels to our back porches and our front porches. So, I mean, everything's going to complement very well together.
All right.
If you look at some of the elevation pages that we have as well, we're going to repurpose some of that steel to incorporate some of the arches from the existing from the structure that we're going to be tearing down. That kind of, like Eddie said, that urban industrial.
Yeah, the steel trusses from the actual Quonset huts that I'm sure everybody just loves around there, but it is very, very neat. they're neat shapes, you know, so we're looking to repurpose those shapes as rooftops over the porches in the back and as well as the front porch on the front.
Were you able to, I guess, did we look into any options for being able to access parking from the northerly area with the adjoinment of that northerly parcel by way of having access of egress and ingress on Northeast Street?
On Northeast Street? Well, we kind of looked at it, but we probably have to put some sort of parking out there, and I'm unsure what parking's allowed on the street out front. But we were definitely thinking of trying to keep as much vehicles out of the front of the building as possible and have them in the back or the rear of the building. But I'm sure there would need to be, is there street parking out there allowed?
There is on-street parking during the day on the other side, so you wouldn't be able to park overnight or anything like that.
Right now, the curb cut that's in there is basically on the other lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to kind of explore how we would approach that. And we do plan on building on that other lot at some point as well.
Okay.
I talked to Mark today in regards to our tap for our sprinkler suppression and our fire suppression, and he said that we could probably get both water supplies in for our future use of the other lot as well at the same time.
Okay.
So dig up the road once, basically.
Right. Okay.
When you mentioned further building on that northerly lot, is that an extension of this building or like another auxiliary building? Or
it'd be like we'd just do a residential duplex, front and rear entry duplex type of situation, I think.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
No, not from me.
Okay. All right, let's just move right on. Oh. Did I hear anyone? All right, let's move right on to the development plan's review standards. Scott, can you take us through that?
Sure. I'll just read the topic for each instead of going through the entire amount of standards. For garbage is garbage, the general, subject property is located at 411 Northeast. It's zoned multifamily residential district, approximately half an acre. And there's the northern parcel, which is approximately 0.25 acres and zoned TRD. The site has an existing vacant brick schoolhouse on 00700. Attached accessory structure on 006, and the development proposal is remove the renovate the school structure and remove the accessory structure and create 6 residential units. They also construct a 6-star six car garage. And the proposal does conform to all use and dimensional zoning requirements. Second, building design. Scale mass proportion of existing school structure to be maintained. North addition will be removed. Additions, windows, doors will all be installed to match existing style. Deck and patio additions will be added to the west side. New 6 stall carport access from the alley to be constructed, and Eddie kind of talked about what those materials and colors were going to be used for that. Preservation of natural significant natural features. There are no significant natural features on this site. Streets, no new streets are being proposed, so it's not applicable. Access driveways, they do plan to access the site from the alley. We've seen the notes from the DPW regarding that alley, and I guess I'd ask a question to Mr. Louch if they're interested in perhaps paving that alley and entering into a maintenance agreement with the city for that.
Yeah, we are interested in that.
Okay.
Okay.
And you do understand that the city doesn't pave or does not plow that road right now. That's going to be the responsibility of the property.
Yeah, and I feel because it's going to be a small association that that should be no big issue with getting that, you know, taken care of.
Okay, so we'll want that incorporated into the maintenance agreement.
That would be nice.
Okay. Emergency vehicle access. The site does have access from East Street and the alley. Sidewalks. There is a sidewalk out on East Street, and they do plan connecting to that from the structure, and also they are going to install sidewalks to access the garages from the structure. Barrier-free, they'll have a barrier-free parking and pedestrian circulation is provided. Parking, proposed development will consist of 4 one-bedroom units. That's 1.5 parking spaces per, and 2-bedroom units, 2 two-bedroom units at 2 spaces per. So there's 10 total provided. The way the parking's laid out, there would be 2 spaces available for each one of those garages if they park one behind the other. They also indicated a couple other additional parking spots, 15 total. And on the latest iteration of the site plan, I don't know if they plan to put more parking where that dumpster was going to go or not, but the way the plan's laid out now, they do meet ordinance criteria for parking.
Okay.
Again, loading, the dumpster is shown on the site plan, but will not be constructed. They'll use the curb carts. No landscaping plan is provided. They do show some what looks to be appears as plantings on that site plan, but no details about those are provided. This is an existing site, so landscaping opportunities are kind of limited, mostly, you know, grass and probably some trees, I think, are going to be maintained on the site.
I can add to that. I'm a landscape contractor downstate in Lansing, so that's kind of my forte, so it'll look nice.
All right. Will you submit a landscape plan with your zoning plan?
Sure can.
Okay. Soil erosion control. Unsure if a soil erosion permit would be required. If so, Charlevoix County would issue that. The same with the stormwater management plan. I don't anticipate one would be required given the limited amount of additional pervious space that's being added and some of the lighting, they do indicate that the fixtures, exterior fixtures, will be the down type of fixtures. I would request that details of locations of those lighting and cut sheets of all the proposed fixtures be provided. Noise, it's a residential use in a residential area, so it's anticipated to be similar to surrounding neighbors. Mechanical equipment, I didn't note any mechanical equipment shown on the site plan, so if there are going to be mechanical units on the exterior, they will need to be screened. No signage is proposed. Hazardous materials, no hazardous materials or waste will be on the site. And then other agency reviews as required. Building, soil erosion, those ones I mentioned.
Okay. All right, so Scott, so you suggest within these findings of fact to approve it, but with the caveat that the landscaping plan and the lighting plan are presented to the city for review, for city staff for review. And then also, is there anything that needs to be put in there about the alley access?
The maintenance agreement needs to be submitted.
And the maintenance agreement, yep.
Prior to any improvements to the alley.
Okay.
This is a site plan review. We need to have a motion to find the finding of facts approved.
Adopt the findings of fact with the noted additions.
I'll make a motion to adopt the findings of fact.
With an
approval of the application under the condition that the alley be paved and a road maintenance agreement be developed with the adjoining property owners along the alley, or reconfigure to have parking egress and ingress from Northeast Street to the rear of the parcel.
And landscaping plan and lighting plan.
Landscaping and lighting plan. If that makes a complete one there, Mr.
Yep,
Chairman.
Yep, yep. Okay. Yes. I have a motion.
Second that.
I've got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Shute?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Jeff Ross?
Aye.
Monica Ross? Bowman?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you so much, Eddie and Dave. If you have any questions, please contact Scott.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to the new business B, the 2021 2016 capital improvement plan. Is that right?
2021 to 2026.
Yeah, okay. That used to be a change on the agenda.
Sorry.
That's all right. All right. And then this is just put in front of us, Scott, for us to review.
Yes.
Really anything we need to have a motion on?
No. You can if you want, but it's not required. The city charter dictates the responsibility of developing a five-year plan with consultation by the planning commission. So now it's be submitted to you for that purpose, and you can make comments, and if you want to make a motion regarding the document.
All right.
Can you, Scott, give us kind of an overview of the highlights of the CIP?
Well, the CIP basically is intended to cover major capital improvements proposed by the city or through the city. A lot of it is the equipment repairs or replacements by the various departments. And road and building improvements. One thing that has been added that is not in this plan, it was added today, is the theater. That would be done through Main Street. And it's probably about a $3 million project. The funds for that would be through grants or other, and it's not anticipated that be funded through the city general fund. So that's kind of in a nutshell. If there's any specific items that you have any comments on, I'd be more than happy to relay those.
Okay.
Is there a thought to extend the sanitary sewer system to the areas currently not served?
There has been discussions about that, and the city has retained the services of C2AE to kind of look at underserved areas and perhaps develop a plan to extend that. One of those areas was looked at was over in the Lewis and Earl Street area, and but funding those improvements is the major hurdle.
What's involved in the shoreline erosion control project?
Well, there's a number of items that have...
oh, I see. Yep.
I think there's five or six different locations that, you know, this last year, definitely degraded through the high water, and actions need to be taken to reinforce those.
If the lake level comes down substantially, or would that work still be done?
Yes, it will, and I believe the thought process is to be proactive instead of reactive in stabilizing these, you know, so we're ready for any kind of future event.
Scott, the reason why I brought up the sanitary sewer, you've got replacement of Lincoln Street on this 2021, and there is a significant length of that area that is to be replaced with a street that you do have, you do not have a sanitary sewer in. So if it, you know, it's one of these things, as a contractor, you know, while you're there type of thing.
Great point. Yeah.
I do know that DPW and the water, wastewater coordinate on most projects, and where there is the ability and the funds to do that work, they do it, but sometimes it's not possible.
To me, it seems totally irresponsible not to put that in the plan, being that we're next to such a beautiful lake. It amazed me when I moved here how many streets didn't have a sanitary sewer and water available within the city limits.
And in reviewing this, is that something that we could add as a, you know, an informal recommendation for perhaps the city and budgeting to review over or consider, or?
That is the kind of input that we're looking for.
Okay. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, we have discussed that at the commission level for years, and Scott's right. The trouble is, who pays for it? When we put water out to Michigan Street, that was assessed to the 26 adjacent landowners, and they requested water line, and then they also had to pay for it. So, trouble is when you have an old neighborhood with homes that are 60 years old and they're all on private septic system, yes, they absolutely could use a municipal sewer system, but if you go through a whole neighborhood, how do you do that? And I guess you have to assess the neighborhood, or does it come out of the funds for water and sewer? It's kind of a topic that's been kicked around for many, many years with no easy answers.
Yeah.
The septic system has a certain amount of maintenance as well, though, doesn't that?
They need to be pumped on a regular basis, and they need to, eventually, the drain fields go bad. And on city lots, there oftentimes isn't enough room for another drain field.
It's all true.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed the state hasn't stepped in on things like that.
Yeah, the state can't get their act together whether they want to, you know, on a home sale, whether there's a septic
a required inspection. Yeah.
Inspection, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're one of the few states that don't have that.
No. They do have it on a county-by-county basis. When I sold my home in Ingham County, I had to have the septic system and the well both tested and certified to a cost of, I think, $400 or $500 for me to be able to sell my home. It started in Shiawassee County, and it is extended to several counties in lower Michigan.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Shiawassee County was the first county to initiate it, and then it has spread to many other counties throughout the lower half of the state of Michigan.
I will add that lakefront septic inspection is something that Lake Charlevoix Association feels strongly in favor of.
Uh-huh.
Scott, looking at the map, it just seems like there's a lot of blank spots. Like, over on, you know, Lakeshore Drive in there, you've got something that goes for a block and a half, and then it just stops, and it's not connected to anything. Is that really the way it is?
Lakeshore Drive?
Front Street.
Front Street.
And then on Division Street. I mean, on Division, you know.
Yeah, Division, there's a big blank spot. But it looks like it runs all the way down Front Street and out Lakeshore, all the way out to Advance.
I mean, there's not a yellow marking that goes that way.
The red lines are the sewer mats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yellow is the stormwater system.
All right, yeah, all right. Sorry, looking at the wrong map.
But there's still a lot of blank spaces.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there have been lawsuits over, I don't know about in this town, I believe in this town too, but whenever you're within a city limits and a realtor will write that it's on a city water and sewer, and then they find out it's not, there have been a lot of lawsuits statewide in those in that respect.
Right. Did it address, Scott, roads? Lincoln Street is on a short list. They're a wish list for pavement of roads.
Yeah, you can see in that your 21, 22 year, there are several streets. And Lincoln is, that's a 2019 Pazer rating. You can see it's in the sixes and a five, so it's ready. Probably some fours in there as well. So it needs to be improved.
Yeah, that Lincoln Street is on the list for the 21-22 capital improvement.
Yeah, that's gone out to bid. I'm just looking what's... We have 23 blocks of gravel roads within the city limits. That always comes up. People come to the city commission meeting and say, like, can I get my street paved? And there's a price tag and a priority. So another tough decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's kind of a twofold pronged attack on how you deal with the streets. As one is, you know, reconstruction of roads that are in poor shape, but also ongoing maintenance, the roads that are still in good shape, just to prolong that. So with the theory being a little money spent now will save a lot of money in the future.
Right.
So that's why you'll see, you know, some of these maintenance items on an annual basis.
I see that. Wasn't that large section of Division that's rated at 6, wasn't that just repaved a couple of years ago?
Probably 7 or 8, I think.
Has it been that long?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember they had all the issues with the manhole covers when they redid that, because they were all sticking up in the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did right in front of my house. And no, it was very much welcomed, but it was a while ago.
Scott, what about the sidewalk repairs? Is that all strictly just downtown sidewalk repairs?
The DPW director does a review of the sidewalk system throughout the city, and then budgets money every year to replace or repair where he sees needed. So yeah, it's system wide, just not downtown.
Gotcha.
Scott, how have the city revenues held up during the pandemic?
Much better than expected. I haven't seen the taxable value for this year, the change, but I think it did increase, so I think we're doing okay, given some of the prognosis is early back March, April last year.
I just had an article in the paper on that, and they said Charlevoix County, or I thought they said Boyne City, was in good shape. It was just an article in something. Mm. It went up by a certain amount of money, and it was expected to generate an extra $100,000 worth of taxes or something. I don't know. Just read it somewhere.
Yeah, I read that too. I don't know where that was. I don't know if that was even
that was here. In this capital improvement plan.
It was, okay.
Oh, well, that's
that was last year's. Like I said, I haven't seen this year's adjustments.
So okay.
I didn't need to update that particular section.
Okay.
Yeah.
Based on how many homes have sold and how property values have climbed, tax, when they turn over, that gives a new taxable value, so that should raise our revenues.
Yeah, that's the real estate market has been very strong. Values have been high, so I would think that's a safe assumption.
Scott, is the capital improvement plan this year from the one last year, is this a little bit more streamlined than before? For some reason, I want to say that there are less items on here than there have been in the past.
In the spreadsheets, you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't recall removing that many.
Okay.
I
was just wondering.
Added a lot to this particular year.
I was wondering if you grouped more things up than in past years.
No. just probably the how many more items there are in this year compared to the other years may look like those were streamlined.
Okay. I do remember there was one year where the lists were extremely long, but I think it was just how it was broken out.
I don't see anything in any of these for improvements to the open space, other than somewhere I saw bathrooms, of course, which is at the boat launch. Is the city planning to put money into the open space, or are they going to try and do it all on a grant basis or donation basis?
It looks like in the 2023, there's a construction phase 1, 4, and 2, and improvements on the open space park.
Okay. And that's in what year?
That is in 2022. So not...
Yeah, there's a space for design phase for this year.
Yep.
Page 33 of the agenda, it looks like.
Okay.
Yep.
And
it goes on to the next year with more for phase 3.
Okay.
So those are plans to be done, and yes,
doing
grants to help fund those.
Okay.
Submitted grants for those.
What are they doing out at Avalanche to the tune of $110,000?
We have to refer back to that plan, the Parks and Recreation plan that was done. That has all the detail in there.
I think they're rearranging the parking lot and improving.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
A new entrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Changing the entrance.
A new skating area, a new long term, a new building.
Warming house, yeah.
Bathrooms, parking.
This has been, I don't know if you've been up there, but it's been very popular this year since we finally started getting snow.
Yeah.
The place is packed all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, it's worth improving.
Yeah.
It's a tourist attraction. People coming in from out of town with fat tire bikes.
Well, it's a beautiful hike in the fall to go to the top and look out at the lake. It's just gorgeous.
A lot of park improvements. I like that.
Yeah, the open space site plan had to be approved so that you have that as a tool to go after grant money.
I see.
The trail extension, isn't that what we were meeting on before when we had those multiple larger meetings? Is this what that project is, or is this kind of a smaller part of that project?
It's a smaller, basically where the trail now terminates right at the Lagoon Drive there. The plan is to extend that alongside the road and come in to the parking lot that's next to the hangars there, kind of through the woods. It's about a 700-foot addition to it to kind of give a little more secluded path because there's kind of been a conflict with vehicles coming up and down Lagoon Drive and pedestrians and bikers on that road, so we thought it would be a little more direct route right to the trailhead where the airport facility is, and we're improving the bathrooms and parking for this trail there.
Does anyone else have any specific questions for this or recommendations? It's a lot and it's always changing, but it's good to see.
Okay. Does anyone want to make a motion to suggest about the sewer replacement, looking into extending that, especially on Lincoln Street if it's already being dug up, or at least finding some reason on that?
I'll go ahead with that and make a motion to recommend the city include a sanitary sewer extension along Lincoln Street while the road is being planned.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Motion and second for recommendation. Roll call, Pat.
Can we have some discussion?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, do we really want to recommend that and then none of the homes are going to be connected to the sewer? I mean, it might cost $100,000 and then you've got a bunch of not expensive homes that all have septic tanks. Believe me, I totally support the idea of eventually connecting to sanitary sewers, but is this just going to be something that goes in and sits for 30 years until somebody connects to it? I just have to ask that question.
Absolutely, Jim. I think at this point, we really just want them to take a look. I mean, to just really take a look at it. I mean, obviously, they can come back with that exact argument and just say, hey, we didn't have the interest there to do it. It was kind of the whole idea was to just have them look into it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, I guess, but
I see your point.
Totally support the, you know, let's put it in, and we don't know what the cost is, but looking at it, certainly that's something anyone could agree with.
Right.
I foresee that the state is going to clamp down and require it in not that distant of the future.
Okay.
What you have when you do Lincoln Street, you have Lewis Street, Earl Street, Alice Street, Grant Street, and High Street all coming into it, and the whole neighborhood, that's my neighborhood, is private septics. So it's as Jim said, it's pretty comprehensive, and the question, can you force an existing home to hook up to a new service if you go right, if you offer that service to them? And so, yeah, the city is talking about it, but again, it's complicated.
Right.
Yeah, the extension of sewer is a topic that's always discussed when any kind of improvements are being done.
Okay.
And as I mentioned before, sometimes the availability of funds and logistics or whatever just makes it impossible, but it is a goal. I mean, it's an objective to extend that system where possible.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we could take out all those park improvements and put a sanitary sewer in that nobody's going to use. I mean,
well, exactly. That's part of the discussion.
Right.
Is it needed? Is it, you know, can it be put in? Those are part of the discussions.
And, you know, I think Monica, hopefully she's right, but I think it's going to take the state saying, you got to do this, to make it happen, you know, because I don't think the city commission wants to force it on people, you know, especially in those neighborhoods, in new neighborhoods, obviously, but,
yeah.
Well, I will modify my, proposed, motion and say that
we can't do that with a motion and a second on the table, can we?
No, we can't.
No, okay. That's fine.
Good point.
So, all right. I have a motion and a second for recommendation to look into extending the sewer system on Lincoln Street when it's being reconstructed as part of the capital improvement. Roll call, Pat.
I just want some clarification for myself first, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry, can you? Yeah.
I have Larry's motion as recommending sanitary sewer extension, not looking into.
Got it.
So is that what your motion was, Larry? Did I hear that correctly, or am I incorrect?
That is correct with what I said. I was
okay.
But without that vote, before we vote, Larry has the right to modify his motion. If he so chooses.
Does he?
Before a vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Amend the motion.
You can amend the motion, yes.
I guess.
Amend the motion to add the word recommend consideration.
Okay.
I'll second that modified motion.
Okay.
A motion and a second to the modified motion. Pat, can you read that back just one more time, please?
Yeah. The recommendation for consideration of adding sanitary sewer extension along Lincoln Street with construction.
All right.
One more question, Chair.
Yes?
Is this also a motion to approve the CIP as presented?
Again, you recommend, you can't approve the CIP, that's a subject of the City Commission.
Yeah.
Or is this, I guess, so is this a recommendation with that one caveat? That's not the right word.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. That wasn't what I was going for, but, I mean, and that wasn't what Larry had mentioned either.
I mean, if it makes sense to amend the motion one more time to recommend adoption of the capital improvement program, that's fine.
Okay, is that what you want to do, Larry?
Yes.
Okay, so recommendation of approval of the capital improvement plan with the recommendation of consideration of extending this sanitary sewer system on Lincoln Street during the construction. Got a motion, a modified motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
And Monica will second it. Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Jeff Ross?
Aye.
Monica Ross?
Aye.
Jim Bowman?
Aye.
All right. Thanks, guys. Let's move on to staff report. Scott?
The city and township moved forward with the 425 agreement and set public hearings and had public hearings for that agreement. Now there's a period of mandatory wait time before acting that, and that's will be in March.
Okay.
As you may recall from the preliminary review of the Tofuco plant, they anticipated coming to the Planning Commission in March for plan review.
Mm-hmm.
I have consulted with our city attorney and asked if also moving forward with the necessary zoning of that property, so because we once that 425 property is transferred into the jurisdiction of the city, we do have to take some action to zone it to whatever district we want it to be. So that will be also scheduled for a public hearing at the Planning Commission at that March meeting.
Okay.
So we'll have two issues there. I have been in discussions with their engineers, and it looks like their plans are coming together, and they'll be able to have something for you to review for that meeting. I did get a flyer on some additional training through MAP. You probably should have received that yourselves. I think this is in March. There are some basically zoning essentials or other kind of topical seminars that are being offered. And if anyone's interested, please let me or Pat know, and we can get you signed up for those. I I think they're all going to be virtual, so it'll make it easy to travel.
I am interested in that, Scott.
Did you get the flyer, Skylar?
I usually get the email, so I just register through that.
Yeah, just look on which ones you want and coordinate with Pat so we can pay those fees to get you trained.
All right, sounds good.
All right, that's all I got.
All right, move on to good of the order. Everybody holding up?
I am currently trying to put together some monarch conservation sites kind of throughout the city and our parks and stuff. Mm-hmm. I still need to get together with Tim from Parks and Rec. And it would just be small little areas of milkweed and or butterfly garden with flowers and stuff. But some of the main spots are milkweed spots up at Avalanche, which I would just kind of make those sites so that noticeable, so that people wouldn't walk all over them. Okay. We might have some of those around town this year and hopefully be part of an MSU study and maybe get some volunteer help as well.
All right.
You may want to contact Nancy Cunningham. She's really interested in that. Okay. And the Garden Club has worked to try and do more butterfly-friendly educational things, and Nancy's the one who's really interested in it, so you might want to contact her.
Okay, I was hoping to join the Garden Club's meeting next month, so yes, I am. Yeah, hopefully we'll be in contact.
Yeah, you might want to anticipate making some kind of presentation to the Parks and Rec Committee for any improvements that you'd want to do at any city park.
Okay, yep. Yeah, I just gotta go get a hold of Tim. I tried calling him one time, but I haven't heard back from him.
All right. I think that's a great idea. Let us know anything we can do just in our private homes. You know, like the garden club has the plant sale every spring. Is that?
No, we put it on hold because of poor results in the last with the last sale.
Because there usually were native plants that, you know, and some of them would be appropriate for attracting butterflies.
Hopefully we can plant milkweed all along the front trail of Avalanche so nobody walks down it anymore.
There we go.
Just be full of butterflies.
I would think along the trail that goes out to Boyne Mountain might be another spot that would be good. Like, yep. There's that rain garden that's in the back of the industrial park, and the trail goes past that. And some of those spots, there's that nice parking lot along that trail off Addis Road, maybe. I would think those would be really good spots to expand that idea.
Yep.
I wanted to add an item, I guess, here to the good of the order, as it didn't make sense to put into the development plan review, but certainly was some thoughts that I had that came and resulted from reviewing that development plan. And that is having parking and egress and ingress and heavier use of our alley systems here in Boyne City. Having a recent and rather poignant situation of being unable to use an alley for business behind my property at 214 State Street, you know, it's occurred to me that at the city level that we're not following or adhering to using some of our ordinances that are currently in place with the use of alleys or, you know, for example, people parking in alleys. You know, we have it on file like that you can find for that. But I'm concerned as, you know, as we continue to build up here in Boyne, if we're not using some of those ordinances so that, you know, we can use those right-of-ways in place. And that was a concern that was, you know, definitely sorted out with the gentleman here, you know, being open to paving. But I was wondering what your thoughts were on that, Mr. Chairman, and, you know, and Scott, and, you know, where do we see going for plans for that being the Planning Commission in the future? And I guess that's something maybe for another time, but I guess I wanted to put that out there because this development we saw tonight certainly highlighted the need to recognize those alleys as a right-of-way.
Well, that's the thing. They're right-of-ways. They're planted right-of-ways, but they're not certified through the Act 51. So they're not like a road system where the city receives funds to maintain that. Alleys receive no funding to maintain them in any way. So the city is reluctant to add any more maintenance for any alleys that currently were not being maintained in some fashion over time. So that's why.
Not even so much as maintenance, but enforcing the ordinances to keep them open as use by right of way seems to be a consistent problem.
Amen.
I would have referred.
And I'm sorry to be that person, but it's
no. I have that problem in my neighborhood all the time. People like to park in the alley, and you can't even walk down there. So like when you want to take your kids for a walk, and you don't want to walk down the shitty sidewalks. Excuse my language. You know, the alleys are the next best option.
To refer to the city police department on that and how yep. that is enforced.
Okay.
Yeah, Rose, I'm glad you brought that up and included it in your motion, that because, you know, this is a nice new development, but it'd be a shame to have a crappy dirt alley behind it, I think. So,
it's unfortunate the burden to build that. You know, road maintenance agreement will require everybody on that road to be on board with that, and I think that's going to be a tough road to hoe, so to speak.
I would think condominium docks would have a real problem with that also.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a tough road.
Yeah, well, the intention of the maintenance agreement would be between that property owner and the city. None of the other property owners would be required to sign on to the agreement.
But he would only have to maintain what's in front of his property, and getting to his property would be the issue.
If he's going to pave it, he's going to have to maintain it. That's the intent of the agreement.
Maintain behind everyone else's property on the way to his?
If he wants to pave it, yes, that's how those maintenance agreements would work, and that's how they worked in the past.
Okay. Good to know.
Anything else? All right. I just need a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I got a motion to adjourn. I got a second. Roll call, Pat.
Bauman?
Yes.
Shute?
Yep.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Yep.
Jeff Ross?
Yes.
Monica Ross.
Yes.
We are okay. Adjourned.
All right. I'll see you guys on March 15th.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thanks.